We're going to start again.
Oh, sorry.
This is the January 8th, 2026 Security Committee meeting. It's 9 a.m. And we have Brandon Areno, Bill Gear, Amelia Wilder. Sorry about that. My brain. And Diane Fleet and myself. And we are calling the meeting to order. We don't have any public, so apparently there's no comments from the public. Brandon, would you go ahead and go over your security report?
Yes, ma'am. So the department's currently working on the following projects. All full-time positions within the security department are currently filled.
Yay.
Currently, we have 5 part-time gate officers and 7 full-time gate officers, 4 full-time patrol officers, with 16 employees in total. 6 probationary employees. A full-time patrol officer and full-time gate officer were hired and began training December 15th.
Congratulations, Brandon.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
I'm very excited about that.
Work at the North Gate has been was done on 12/23/25, moving an existing barcode reader from the left turning lane to the visitor lane, which opens up 3 lanes of barcoded access in to inbound Marietta Parkway. Work began on the middle resident lane to rewire the shorted wires, which are ongoing due to weather conditions. Work crew was able to put a temporary fix to get that lane accessible by residents. And the new body-worn cameras that we have purchased were put into use and are currently being worn by all security patrol officers.
Yay. So, good news.
Awesome.
Yeah, all of this is just fantastic.
And how is their ease of use? Is it?
Oh, so much easier. It automatic. As soon as they take them off the charger, wear them if they go out in the field and use them. As soon as they bring them back, they put them on the charger and it uploads into the cloud, and we have that stored for
data.
Yeah, we have it stored for the as much as the policy allows. You could set it to whatever, how many days for the retention policy you want. So if our retention policy is a year, it could be set to a year. If it's 30 days, it could be set to 30 days.
So tell me, Brandon, when you say it's stored in the cloud, can you give me a couple of details? Is that like a share drive, or is it a third-party vendor?
It's a third-party vendor for right now, until Andy's able to put it onto our, you know, our networking system and all that type of stuff. We pay for that
sure.
Cloud storage. Now it's a subscription fee for that whole body cam stuff. So it's going to be stored for.
Okay. Like, what does it cost us a month?
I don't.
Andy's going to come in a little bit and he'll tell us.
Yeah, I would have to.
Okay.
I'd have to look at the invoice again.
All right. Just curious.
But yeah, as far as the Rancho Marietta Association activity, the general non-ARC rules, you see the violation summary report. They're conducting speed enforcement and patrolling all areas within the district. And there was a meeting held between CSD and RMA leadership discussing RMA managing non-member barcodes. So RMA is working on taking over the non-member barcode access. So. That'll be their stuff now.
So you met with RMA, and all you talked about was taking over non-member barcodes?
So far.
Okay.
And then also, I had a meeting with them yesterday, but that doesn't reflect on the report. So,
okay.
And that was for yesterday's meeting was more for compliance and holiday operations on ways to speed things up with the gate passes during all holidays.
We were in a meeting. I don't know if you've heard this or not, Linda, but we were in a meeting. We were in a meeting, and John said that he says, you know, on these holiday periods, we should just open the gates and live with it.
Yeah.
No?
No.
Well, that's what I heard was, and Brandon, you were here, that it used to be such that when the gates started to back up,
they just opened and let
out into the highway.
Yeah.
That they would just open the. I don't know. I can't say it's that. Can you verify that?
It is that for sure now, because I reiterated to the staff the need for the safety concerns when it does back into the Jackson Highway. How you know the blind curve that they have right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So staff is put on where that when these holidays or even traffic starts to back up, just to start filtering in some of that traffic, and when you could catch back up to start logging people in, start doing so.
So just a quick question about that. Do we have a monitor for license plates? Can we, at this point, are we able to capture license plates when they come in?
That is a, on security footage, yes. But as far as being entered into the ABDI system, that's manually inputted by the guard himself.
So the answer is yes and no.
Well, it depends on what you mean by it. is a yes and no answer, Linda, pretty much.
I think Linda's talking about a high-tech thing which reads the license plate and then brings up the owner and says, oh, look, this guy named Brandon has... you know, an exemplary driving record.
We do have an LPR monitoring system, but it is...
LPR meaning?
License plate reader.
Okay.
But it's no use to anything that we do. It's not stored onto a system to where we could search that license plate up. So they're really no use. It just shows us their license plate on the screen at this point.
So we don't have the ability to... I mean, we have the ability to read them, but it doesn't...
We currently don't have the technology needed to do so.
Nothing to do. Okay, ABDI. Can ABDI. They help us with that?
So I've already talked about this, too. ABDI has a function that they could add to the gate system, and it's a $6,000 startup fee, and it'll integrate artificial intelligence to the license plate reader, and that would be any license plate that would come into the community would automatically pop up on the guard screen, and it would show them the list of addresses that the place they actually went to. In order to do that, like I said, it's a $6,000 startup fee, and it's also going to bring our bill up to about $2,000 a month
from
$1,500 that we pay already.
Okay. So that would help.
It would help. It would start. It would bring up accountability for one, with everybody actually being logged in that comes, because the ease of how faster the system would be good. However, that also puts us into a position to where we would have to then stay with ABDI when we're actually trying to find a better platform.
Okay.
So the question is, do we waste?
Well, okay. So the better platform. I think you've looked at a company, but the missing link is the patrol officers. The other missing link is the money. Mm-hmm. So we have ABDI right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can get $6,000 for the startup, and then I don't know how long it's going to be before we have the money to do a whole new system.
And I've also reached out to them because they don't have... Right now, I asked one of the main people I talked to over there is if there's a way we could do a trial run to see exactly how much faster things would be and if it would even be worth our money to spend. They do not do trial runs, and I've also asked for a demo on it, and she said that she'd have to get back to me because they don't have a current demo on the system, so I don't want to exactly put my eggs into this.
I did it. Right. No, we're not going to really show this to you.
Right. Yeah. We don't want to be their guinea pigs.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so it looks like we need to put the license plate reader on hold.
Well,
do you think?
Well, yeah. We keep talking about incremental change, and I think that's kind of just a road to hell. It really is. It's, we just had this one little thing because, you know, I talked to some security guys last week, and they said, you know, it's so simple these days. You get the license plate readers like Linda was talking about, and you don't need barcodes anymore.
Exactly.
Why do you need a barcode if you have a license plate, you know?
Well,
and maybe what we'd do is try to get people to put front license plates on because most people or many people don't. But that's the system which is our future. We don't need barcode readers. We don't care what color your barcode is. None of that. You don't have to register and pay $20. You know, all that stuff goes away if we get the right system. So,
well,
and that's exactly what this other system that I looked
yes
at does.
Yes and no.
It's always yes and no.
We have two golf courses. Yeah. And we have people coming in the golf course to use the golf course. People who live outside who join the golf courses. I don't know how many there are. There could be 5, there could be 10, there could be 20. The country club needs to tell us that. But I don't even know where to begin. We have tried to provide the necessary security for years. The glitches in the program that Brandon has brought to our attention have existed for a lengthy period of time. Right now, I gave a report at the last board meeting, year-end report for security, and we have big question marks, but we also don't have any money. And so I'm going to make a list of what we need for security, what we need for communications, not personnel at this point, but I'm going to make a list for Cecilia and say, this is what we need. Is there some way to get it sooner rather than later? Is the budget process going to allow us to look at security impact fees? Do we have them or don't we have them? Some of those things have got to be clarified because our budget is not going to let us go forward on this stuff.
Correct.
I like your idea of finding a way to do it like the gates, to 1 year, to the next year, however many there are. And so, as much as, I mean, the license plate reader is going to make a difference. If RMA instituted their fast pass to the community, made a point out of saying, you know, you're holding up the works. You're responsible for telling people. And they need to be a little tougher about this whole thing. And I think we need to be tougher in the pipeline and wherever else we communicate this and say, look, you're all out here complaining about the lines and it's a safety hazard, et cetera, et cetera. Get your guests in here with a fast pass. It's not that hard. And I think that the Southgate is more effective with that, or maybe they just have fewer people. But
I kind of think that's only available at one gate. No,
what is that? It's the fast pass. We have the capability at both gates with the iPads.
Okay.
It's just the matter of the fact is when they use the fast pass, where we have the hang up is. What I'm noticing is when a resident comes in, they show us their QR code, or not a resident, I guess, shows us their QR code on their phone. The guard has to unlock the iPad, put, you know, with whatever passcode's in there, hit the QR reader button, and then it automatically puts in the guest's name. Mm-hmm. If that's that first time that guest has been in with that vehicle, it doesn't automatically do the license plate.
No.
So you have to type in the license plate. So all that still takes some time to where it evens about the same amount of time as if you were to come up to the gate and say, hey, I'm going to go visit Joe Smith at 1757 whatever, and the guard would just type it in and just be done. And then
okay, so
it's about the same amount of time.
So here's the deal. What keeps happening is that we keep coming up with complaints. We keep trying to come up with ways to deflect or fix
resolve,
the complaints, resolve the complaints. New process, new equipment, new technology, and we just constantly are at an impasse, from my observation. Mm-hmm. And I don't, frankly, I don't know what to do about it.
Brandon, could you call, I can't think of their name, the new one that we saw through the presentation that we like so much for the gates,
mm-hmm.
and find out and just really wrap your head around how much more work it would be for you to manage a patrol system and a gate system, how much they talk to each other, what their interfaces are, and see if we can move forward on the new gate system.
On the new gate system.
Yeah.
Could you do that? Yeah.
Yeah, that's no problem.
I think that's a great idea.
Because the gates are the biggest problem. Patrol isn't,
Well, wait a second. I mean, there's a lot of, it's a big problem, but we've got other big problems with all of our software working together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
So.
The biggest thing with ABDI is that they tailored, when we first got it here, they tailored to everything that this community needed and built their platform around us. Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, with all these other platforms, they're built just for specific gated community entries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing to do with the security portion of patrolling the community.
Right.
So,
yeah, if we could get a gate access only software program that just read license plates and let people in, that would be a really huge upgrade, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Means that you'd have to do one thing, then do another thing, you know?
Yeah, and that's very manageable.
And then find out how much ABDI will take off of our bill if we cancel the gate portion of their services, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Unless you guys are locked in with some type of a contract with them.
I will get, we find the contract and send it.
Because if we don't have a contract, we can...
I think we have a contract with them. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure we have a contract with them.
Okay, let's find out the information that we need to find out. We need to talk to the new company and see all of the things that they can do. They don't want to give us a demonstration?
They already have.
They already gave us a demonstration.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything about them is faster, simpler.
Okay.
Everything that you guys were just talking about that you like with license plates, they already have that.
And so, actually, this isn't a problem with the budget because, I mean, maybe a little one, but we're already paying for ABDI. If we drop them and put in a new system,
precisely,
we still have a budget line item for that. Right?
Yes, exactly.
Yay.
Exactly.
And if this is beneficial as well, the guy that I have talked to from that new platform, Go Access, he's also said that he would demonstrate his platform to the board of directors or anybody that would like to see it during these meetings.
Well, there you go.
So if you guys would like to, you know, at the next security committee meeting, I could get him on the TV and he'll show the platform to you guys and stuff like that.
That's great.
So.
I think the first thing is to make sure what the contract says with ABDI, and then find out how long or what the process would be for switching. You know, do they need a time period for setup and stuff like that? We need to maybe tell the community that. If we just make this decision that, you know, they're going to experience some, you know, delays for 20 minutes, you know, a 20-minute delay, but we have to go through a process to get this set up.
It'll be a painful process for a couple of months.
Yeah.
Well, the other platform, Go Access, he's also reiterated, too, that it would actually be a smooth transition because they're able to upload all the information that we have in our current system to their information, and that's everything that they'll deal with. And he also did say that if there's ever a problem, like say a resident's using their app and they're having an issue with it, they directly handle that. You don't have to talk to the security about fixing the app. They have their own kind of customer service.
Wow.
So it's nothing that we have to deal with ourselves.
Wow.
So.
And when you say the app, are you talking about the FastPass app?
No, they also have their own mobile version.
Okay.
Like just how we have
awesome.
A FastPass.
They awesome,
have the same
awesome,
kind of
awesome.
Thing.
Which is much more easy for...
user-friendly and everything.
...people to use, and they can put community events in there, and...
Community message board.
Oh, yeah. Right, the message board.
The community message board.
It's fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Well, since I don't think this is going to be much of a budget problem...
I don't think it is.
I think it
is.
Just the biggest thing is the startup cost of it.
Right. And you have 5,000 of that.
I have 5,000, yeah. So we'll revisit
check
this.
The contract with ABDI and see how easily or hard it's going to be to get out from under it. And maybe come back and report on that next month.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I love it.
And then see if we can't get something set up. I don't know if we can have any more meetings in January, but maybe
more meetings.
A short meeting at the February board meeting.
Well, we're going to schedule the special security.
That's a great idea.
And then, if that's going to be in lieu of our regular security committee meeting, then we'll just have that be one of the items
that'll be fantastic.
And then we can discuss it with the whole board all at once, and they can say, yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Sounds like a great idea. So we'll put that
on. Hopefully they can say, yeah.
Yeah, Diane, can we put that on, just make a note that we want to put that on the agenda
for
the special committee meeting, special security committee meeting.
Okay.
And do you think that with the new company, will the whole FastPass thing be faster?
Yeah, everything about it will be faster, especially when you start to incorporate the artificial intelligence with the license plate readers and all that stuff. It saves minutes that matter.
Yeah.
So
right.
And then it also, like I said, when a resident is coming up or even a known guest, it automatically inputs it into the system, and it even has a capability to open the gate arms for that person if they're allowed. If you put it to that, they're allowed
to. That's amazing.
So you have complete access over everything, accountability wise, and it manages who you have in your community very well.
So, at that point, I want to just talk for. I think it's. Thank you for doing the work that you've done on that. You've gone over and over and over it, and you've answered every question as far as I'm concerned. I just want to make a comment about barcodes. In general, I don't trust that without the barcodes, we're going to be having the same amount of security from people coming in who don't belong here. Mm-hmm. I like the barcode system. I think the barcode system is efficient, plenty efficient for the residents. From my perspective anyways, we could take it to the board, but from my perspective, I think the barcodes are working just fine. And RMA wants to put colored barcodes on people who don't live here. Great. Mm-hmm. We know they belong here because they have a different color barcode.
Yeah.
So I've been here 35 years. 36 this year, 36. And what we started with was literally a security shack. It did have an arm that went up and down. But and we had many fewer people, and we had many fewer incidents. But this is a I'll just make a comment about this. We can talk about it another time, or in the special meeting. I have talked to both Lake Wildwood and Lake of the Pines. They don't even have near what we have in terms of people or in terms of a setup. We actually look pretty good by comparison. Mm-hmm. They do have barcodes, and from my conversations, that works. Mine. I don't want to get rid of barcodes. We really do need to control and maintain and control who comes in and out of here.
Sure.
Yeah.
So.
Well, to reflect on what Bill was saying earlier about requiring residents to put front license plates on, vehicle code 5200. No, vehicle code 5200. It's a state law requires it. So
it does.
And that's something. If you go to LPRs, it would be faster. Like Brandon's saying, with all the AI and everything, how it intercommunicates, and then you wouldn't need a different color barcode.
But you have to recognize that many people in this community don't think they need to abide the law. License plates on the front of their car. They're not going to put license plates on the front of the car unless somebody out in Highway 16 or the freeway or whatever, a policeman pulls them over and says you have to have a front license plate. Sorry.
Yeah.
there's a significant attitude problem, and it's not just us.
Yeah. No,
they only get away with it for so long until they get pulled over.
That's right.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we're operating our gates without the appropriate information. So,
all right.
That's it. Bill, anything else?
No, I think you're right. We absolutely have to have a gated community where it's restricted access. We need modern technology.
Absolutely.
We need to get modern technology and get rid of the old, my God, barcodes were cool back in 1998.
Yeah, I think we got the system in 2012, I want to say.
Yeah. Okay, so they were cool 10 years before that.
That right? So that's what Brett.
So, yeah.
So the time but
if they're working, we have a lot of things to fix. If they're working right now, at some future date, and we may be able to get rid of them. But I think right now, it's the way we need to operate.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Got to move forward.
I'm going to go on with the report.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to move on to the incidents and notes. We had a few incidents that were noteworthy. On December 1st at about 9:50 p.m., they had a residence on Reynosa Drive. The garage caught on fire and needed response from the fire department to put out the blaze. Our patrol officers helped by controlling traffic in the area until the till the fire was extinguished. They didn't have any noted injuries from the residents or anybody that was involved in that blaze. And then on December 17th, at about 1:12 p.m., there was an incident to where a female in a black BMW came up to the gate and was cussing at our gate officer to open up the gate, and almost pretty much went through the gate arm. The gate officer told her to leave, and as doing so, when he opened up the gate, she proceeded inbound into the community, going into oncoming traffic. And the compliance officer happened to be in the area.
Did she do that by crossing over and
she
going?
She crossed over into oncoming traffic as soon as she entered, instead of doing the U-turn.
Mm-hmm.
The compliance officer ended up being in the area at that time while I was on my way, and he shielded with his vehicle the traffic that he had behind him, and told, you know, had everybody behind him stopped, so, you know, to block her from hitting the other.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, he got out, told her to, you know, he's trying to give her instructions to turn around and get out of here, and you know, that she was trespassing and all that, and he walked in front of the vehicle, and she proceeded to
bump into
bump into him, and he got injured in that, and was seen by medical. And as soon as I got there, I pretty much seen her turning around and leaving. She didn't stop at all. She exited out of the community and went westbound into Sacramento. Notified the CHP. She had a paper plate, gave them all the information that they needed, and they couldn't find that person's information. They believe that it was possibly a stolen license plate.
Oh, my gosh.
And then on December 23rd, Southgate received a call about a dark-colored Tesla striking a building and tree located on Marietta Parkway, right across from the RMA building. So it was in that island area. The driver was transported to the hospital, and they pretty much declared him intoxicated. So CHP took over that situation. He was under the influence of alcohol and operating his motor vehicle. And on December 27th,
wait a sec. Was he a resident?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I believe so. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe so. And then on December 27th, 2025, at 5:58 p.m., at the Algaio restaurant, they reported to us that two vehicles were broken into and the radio systems were taken out. They provided video footage of the person who did it. He's wearing a black hoodie, and he got into a Honda Odyssey and took off towards Lone Pine. So that was... that was all after the situation. So I just want to note that the from the looks of it, somebody is targeting the outside of the community so far, you know, the commercial areas, because I want to say last week, over the weekend, they had mailboxes broken into as well as at the post office. So
the post office was broken into last week?
Yeah, 5 to 7. Yeah. 5 to 7 big
the mailbox section.
Big mailboxes were broken into. The locks were broken off.
Inside the lobby.
Yes, inside the lobby. So they're working on, they want us to lock them up at 8 p.m. every day.
Very good.
As well as they're looking into getting with their the manager of the property to see if they could kind of get the same kind of system that we have here with our lock, you know, our automatic time doors and stuff like that.
Oh, so, yeah. I'll give you their, they're very reasonably priced, and I'll give you their contact information so you can share it with them.
Okay.
So, it used to be that when we had these crime sprees, and Tina Telemontes was our security chief, she would get a bulletin together with any kind of pictures we had of those people. Mm-hmm. We put it on Facebook. Next door, their photos would go viral. So let's do that.
Okay.
Okay? Give me some photos of him. We'll get together. We'll work on a bulletin. We'll get it in the pipeline.
Right.
So we'll embarrass them so much they don't steal from
Yeah, and the only thing about the post office incident, they don't have security camera footage of anything that happened over there. They don't have camera footage
have
inside
cameras.
Their lobbies or outside, so that's an unknown person.
Okay. But, okay, so anyway.
That's for the camera program. Anyway, I want to say a couple things about this. This is exactly what we need to know and understand that our security department is doing. I again, compliment you on the recording of the incidents of note.
It's easier when there are none, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. But, you know, there's always going to be something. And referring back to your comment about when we were having crime sprees, the most interesting thing about a couple of them is that they were people who lived in the community who were targeting things across the street. We had one...
More than once.
One white truck who on several occasions from the north went across the street and was stealing catalytic converters and stuff for the metal.
Remember when somebody stole a big air conditioner out of...
Right.
They lived here too.
Yeah. And then we had a person from the south, I believe, a woman who drove the getaway car back by the airport, and they were helping themselves to, again, on catalytic converters and whatever thing they could find that had resellable metal on it. So... I believe, I mean, there's enough evidence to say that since we have become more visible and we have a bigger area, like the plaza used to be it, and now we have, you know, a lot of other things that are drawing cards, two gas stations with convenience stores and with liquor, you know, Howie's and then Bel Air, which they're always getting ripped off. I think that the fact that we are more visible certainly makes a difference. I have some ideas about what I'd like to see happen, but I don't know that it would ever would, and I think that the commercial center needs to get some of their own security, bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, in the meantime, since we still provide security over there, we're still going to, you know, operate how we always operated.
Right, of course.
But also, too... with the camera project that we're working on, I think it would be good to look into some of those cameras that we could lug around on trailers and put them in these problemed areas.
Sure.
That flashlights, and it's going to let criminals know, like, hey, you're on camera when you go and do something stupid.
I set up the date for January 29th.
Yeah.
Brandon, myself, Rod Hart, Chris, and Mike Martell, if he's available.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so it's 10 o'clock on the 29th. We're going to sort of start from the past and say, okay, what do we have? I think I put the outline in here. I'm not sure. what we have, what we understand about how did it work? Was it a joint venture, et cetera, et cetera? And I got a lot of information from Tim. and then what we want and how can we get there? So it will be probably a few months worth of a workshop to get this all down on paper and figure it out. But one of the things that Tim said was that when you look at it, a camera program from two aspects, from compliance and security. Compliance is fining people who are where they're not supposed to be at time they're not supposed to be there, doing what they're not supposed to be doing. And security is just exactly that. If we have a camera and we can catch people doing what they aren't supposed to be doing, they can get a fine, and they can maybe more than one fine from compliance and security. And I just feel that the camera program is something that really will help both RMA and CSD. So that's where we're headed.
Yeah. And it seems like I remember that just lighting an area up was the number one way to abate crime in that area. So maybe the plaza needs more light.
I mean, some of this stuff is happening in broad daylight. Right. Those vehicles that were broken into, broad daylight.
Broad daylight. There's a new owner for the plaza.
Yes, we've met him.
We did?
Yeah. He came in and we talked about his bill.
We talked about?
His bill.
Oh.
Yes.
Right. Not tremendously concerned about doing something for the community? Or did he seem to have an attitude or approach to, I want to make it better?
Yes. He's very, very kind gentleman.
Okay, good.
Seemed, yeah, very approachable. So,
I think I even read, I don't know if it was on Beth's site or on, I don't read Next Door, but that people were sending in ideas for what they wanted to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, it seems like I saw that, like, oh, we want you to lease one of those spaces out to something or another. And it's like, what? I'm going to lease that space out to whoever has money. Are you kidding? I mean, what? No, I understand you want to start a toy store here, but I am waiting for a women's dress shop. So next, right?
Get in line.
Get in line, yeah.
Some of it was pretty audacious, I would have to say.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad thing to say, you know, this is what the community needs, and we want to continue to support local businesses. And so if we have the kind of local businesses that the community likes and wants to frequent, then we can support them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple places, in the hardware store and El Gallo have been there as long as I've been here.
Okay,
just
I didn't
about.
Know that.
And, El Gallo maybe a little later. That place was several different things, a sandwich shop and stuff like that. But those two have been here forever. Now the backyard has been here for a long time. And we just got a new place called the Bridge House, which is adorable.
I've heard.
And very, very good food and stuff. The gym, the post office. Mm-hmm, the plaza really they have that big space that used to be the grocery store, and I'm not sure what they can do with that. But
well, I'm sure that he will lease it out to the very first person who has money.
Because it's empty, yeah.
I would.
There's still a daycare center at the end, and Karen Hoberg has her office there. And actually, it's really as old as it is, that area that has the pond and the water
and
going
the trees
through,
and
it's
everything.
Really nice.
Yeah.
So hopefully...
Well, the plaza is reminiscent of what Rancho Marietta was when it was established, too. Mm-hmm. It's got all those same flavors as the country club. And so I feel like it's got a lot of architectural history there.
And there's I always just want a paint job. Mm-hmm. Something that isn't from 1972.
Oh, Linda. It's back
anyway,
in style.
Yeah. Black and white is in style. Have you noticed that?
I don't.
Curiosity. Anyways,
I have my own
thank
style.
You, Brandon. Is there
hooray
more?
Hooray for Brandon.
As always, if you need to see anything about the numbers to do with the citations and the VSR report, it's attached. Any questions?
That's a question I have. Can CSD write their own citations? In other words...
We write citations for RMA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then those go over and into RMA's universe. And we can write a citation for... messing with the lakes or the the water in the lakes that protect our interests.
Reservoirs, yeah.
Yeah, that protect our reservoirs. And we can also write a citation for noxious behavior.
Yeah, like interference with an employee doing his duties.
Okay.
Okay.
Type of situation.
Yeah, noxious behavior.
So when there's no compliance, say it's, you know,
they're gone for the
10
day.
O'clock or whatever, and we get a call that says... there's a disturbance here, you know, loud party, past the hours, whatever the case might be. Can we write a ticket for that?
If it's behind RMA's gates, yes, Brandon?
Great.
Well, yeah, for RMA, yeah.
Because then we're writing a ticket for RMA.
Yeah, it's for RMA, yeah. At any time we could, yeah, as long as it's inside the gates, we could always write a HOA rule violation.
Okay. So can we start doing that?
That's what we always do.
Oh, it is what you do.
That's
okay.
Always been the practice. That's what the... that's actually why we get this compliance
report,
okay.
The VSR. Right, right.
And if you look at it, it shows how many violations that CSD has written compared to RMAs.
Mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
always have high numbers because they have the
the speeding cameras, so those automatically pump them out.
Right, right.
But these are, any violation that we have, these are officers contacting that person that's violating a rule.
So I think we could put an article, a little, or a notation or something in the pipeline and on Facebook, and anywhere else. We could ask Beth if she would post it. Uh-huh. And maybe Gail could put it in one of her articles. That just because the compliance office isn't here, that we have the ability to write citations. Good?
Yeah.
Okay.
So are we ready to move on to the special security meeting?
I am.
Okay. We've been working on this for a while.
Yeah.
We're basically ready.
Awesome.
And we want to follow this three-part outline. The history will, it's not going to be in-depth, but it will especially point out the time period before you came, Brandon, and some of the things we were going through. And I'll do that. Brandon's going to take the observe and report and try to answer the questions about what does it mean, what are our options within the general understanding of observe and report. And I think that we've looked at a couple articles. I think that there are some ways of tweaking observe and report, or maybe we're already tweaking observe and report so that we can have a bigger presence. I don't know how else to put it. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem.
And then the last part will be equipment and training. Got to find some money somehow, some way, so that we can train Brandon, who probably doesn't need much training, but train Brandon so and whoever else is your... we have some people at the gate that... Or a person at the gate that sort of heads up the group. Mm-hmm. And so, anyways... We need to get some, once we determine how we want to do observe and report, how we're supposed to and where we can tweak things, we have to train the gate officers and the patrol officers in terms of how they can use it, you know. So, anyway, and you know, that whole thing of my thing, I guess you, but I think we do it anyway, kill them with kindness. When they come to that gate and they, you know, they're ready to yell at you because they had to wait 20 minutes, you know, the best thing, you know, that to train the officers to be able to do is say, I'm sorry you had to wait, before they even start yelling at you. Good morning, good afternoon, I'm sorry you had to wait, you know.
Yeah, agreed.
Those are just little things I know that we can put into focus.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we need is a date.
You know, can I just suggest we do it the regular security committee date and time for next year?
That works fine for me.
So that's the 5th. Are we going to have enough time to have everything prepared?
Oh, yeah.
We'll just do
the 5th of February?
Yes, mm-hmm. sir. And then we'll just invite the whole board. And so I'll start asking who else is available, because we'll need a quorum in order to make it a board meeting.
Right.
And we will just... move forward on it.
I think that's a great idea.
Does that sound okay to everybody?
Sound okay?
Sure.
February 5th, Brandon and I will be ready.
Yep.
Be ready?
We talked about it enough. And actually what we'll make sure we have is all supporting materials will be available in the packet.
And so let's try to...
Do you want me to see if the Go Access guy could also...
That'd be great, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I would love that. And have that be on there so that everybody can make that decision then, too. So that day to post is the... We'll probably have the agenda out on January 29th and then post the packet on the 2nd so that you have a couple extra days to work on the packet, depending on your timeline. But if we could have the packet posted on the 29th, that would be good.
We'll get together.
Cool. I love it.
Pull up all the stuff that we're going to put in the packet. So that people can read before they come. I love that idea. I'm very excited that we are actually...
Yeah, that we're setting a date.
And we can agree on how we want to what we want to put in the job description and how we want to put it, and the board can vote on it right there. Okay, so we don't have to wait anymore.
Sure.
Yay.
So we're going to put the observe and report description.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a couple articles, and Brandon knows what it's all about.
So then I'll talk to you guys about procedurally how we make changes to the code, because that's what we're doing, is we want to make changes to that observe and report section of the code, which is fine.
Yeah, and then that will go to
then you don't know what's going to happen. It could be that the board decides that they love it and they want to adopt it right then. Mm-hmm. It could be because it's making changes to the code, so it has to be an ordinance. So we would have, so staff will come to that meeting with an ordinance, a draft ordinance,
right,
that says these are our recommendations to make to that portion of the code, observing report. And then the board can say, we love everything, send it off to the regular meeting in February for approval. The board can say, we want to make these few changes, which is what generally happens when an ordinance gets up to the board. And then with those changes, take it to the February meeting, the regular meeting, because an ordinance has to be approved at a regular meeting, for the board to vote on and hopefully approve.
And this all started because we needed to move away from the CSO job description.
And back into
a security guard.
And decide what equipment they were going to use.
Yes.
I don't think for the district code, for the security, you really don't have to change too much of it. We could look it over and see exactly if it's tailored to what we need it to be.
Right.
But the code's always been the same.
The code's always been the same, and the code has never discussed what kind of equipment the officers will use.
Okay.
But as a point of order, if we're going to have a special meeting, you're going to talk to John about this?
Yeah, I'll talk to everybody and see if we have a quorum. Yeah, John knows we're going to have a special meeting, though.
John asked for it.
Yeah, I talked to him about that this morning. He said, go ahead and schedule it. Okay, I love it. Perfect.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I see, Amelia, that we've got this updated video surveillance retention policy.
Yeah, and so Andy started this one because he is Mr. Cybersecurity for the district, and this is an IT issue, so I'm going to let him take it over. Scoot closer so that you can use this.
Sure. The concern is just the amount of data that we're retaining. The fact that, there's a number of issues with trying to keep that much data. It eats up local resources. It slows things down. It slows down retrieval of information from the system, things like that.
Because right now it's 1 year period that we're.
It's a one year period, and that's unusual. Most places is 30, 60, 90, and the vast majority tend to do 30 days. When I was with the university, things like that, it was 30 days. The thought being besides the liability of holding the data and all that, there's also issues with retaining information for extended periods. That in and of itself can become a liability under certain circumstances. So most places do tend to standardize on a 30, 60, or 90-day retention policy.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care what most people do. Frankly, we have had lawsuits where we have had to provide information from body cameras, from a variety of different places. If we get rid of what we're doing, retaining that information, how do we do that?
They can't ask us. If our policy is that we'll hold it for 30 days, then they have 30 days to say, I'm going to want that information, or 60 days or 90 days, however long you want, we decide. And then after that, it's not available. It's like a Public Records Act. If I've destroyed the bank receipts from 1974, then I can't give them to you because I don't have them anymore.
Right.
The law is such that it is based on your retention policy, and you have no requirement to provide any information beyond your stated
policy. I'm not challenging you, but it just doesn't ever work out that way. I mean, you have 30 days to do something. If we record something on a body camera or some incidents that are happening, even traffic problems that we've encountered, 30 days is not enough time.
How long would you like it to be?
At least 6 months.
So somebody needs 6 months to figure out that they want that footage? Like, they should have known that within the first 2 weeks if they're going to have an issue with whatever happened.
With the first 5 minutes.
And yeah.
Well, come on, guys.
The policy, you know.
Well, hey, I mean, the mechanics of storing video, it's like not a big deal, I don't think. But the question is, it's a legal one. What is Patrick going to say about this? Because you're right. It's like what Linda said is true, that we want to have historical documents. But on the other hand, it could open us up to potential litigation. And we've had PRAs for, 10,000 emails. And it's like, why are we admitting to this? Why don't we just have as a policy that we get rid of stuff quickly? So those are the two things that are in conflict with each other. And it'd be good to hear what Patrick says about retention. What does the law say about, how long do we keep emails?
We make them. From what Andy said, we make our own decision about that.
We make our own decision
as long as it's...
Some things we don't. Some things the state has mandated that we keep every original ordinance and resolution with the original signature. But then, contracts, 5 years... photocopy of that for 5 years after the contract is expired, et cetera, et cetera. Many things are lined out, but this isn't one of those things that's in that state mandated retention policy.
And this is from what I think I'm reading here. It's about surveillance.
This is just about about the body cameras and the gate and surveillance.
And so if we have a camera system that we decide to go forward with, we need to keep that camera stuff available.
Well, we'll always keep, if the policy is 30 days, we'll always have 30 days available. And the old information, when we make a change to a new camera system, will still be there.
So if you want it to be 6 months, if that's what the board is comfortable with, then it's 6 months. But I will have Patrick weigh in on this.
Okay.
If you choose to take these changes to these policies to the board.
Yes.
Is that the committee's wish to make changes to these policies?
I don't know whether Bill feels the same way.
No, we can.
And how long do you think
we can take anything to the board? We can adopt a policy as long as it abides with state law on records retention and availability. If the state law says 30 days and we want to keep it for a year, we can do that. But if the state law says 60 days and we say no, we're only keeping it for 30, you're making a big mistake.
Yeah, exactly. So I will get legal's opinions weigh in on that. Linda, I heard you say 6 months is what you're comfortable with. Bill, do you have a comfort zone there?
No, I think that I've always thought we should keep everything since day one, but that's in my private life.
Yeah.
And not that I'm a pack rat, but I have, every email I ever sent, I still have. But for a public... institution.
See, I can't say, Bill, I want to see the email that you sent in 1997. It's burdensome. Then, if I get a public records request, I've had them for asbestos. Asbestos pipes that was used in the original construction. Yeah. Well, I don't have those records anymore. So that means, A, I don't have to go and testify that something happened 20 years before I showed up on the scene.
But it also means that you don't have what you might need to support your position.
Right?
It's tricky, isn't it? No, but...
Which again, is at the, advice of our security department to say, you know, I'm kind of fuzzy about this and crunchy, and so I think that we should keep this particular video. This is something that could very well in the future support us. So then he has the right to grab that video and put it over in the forever pile.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like if an incident happens, like anything that happens, I'm already knowing, all right, they're going to come back and want this anyways. So I'm going to save it into a file that we're, you know, like say if a car accident happens and I know that they're going to want footage later on.
Yeah.
So as long as,
I guess,
you know.
When the shooting happened over at the equestrian center and we had that on his body cam, I'm sure that immediately security grabbed that and put it in a different, because it was.
And that guy's trying to sue us.
Why not?
Well, but
I mean,
with the public records law as it is, it's incredibly burdensome on us to comply with.
I have no idea. But we're talking about surveillance. We're not talking about all that other stuff.
What law is covering retention of security? 1,000,000%
Public Records Act. Okay. The surveillance. Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
it's very burdensome. Okay. And so it's in the district's best interest to get rid of those records. Yeah. I also have a loophole that if I feel that the records, even though they don't fall into that retention policy, if I look at something and I say, you know what, Travis might need this in 10 years, then I will I'm going to hold on to that. If it's something that's that I don't have to hold on to, but it's like, oh, this might come in handy, then I'm going to hold on to it. It's not like it's mandatory. It's just all the gobbledygook. The last time we went through it, I had canceled checks from the residents who paid their bills from like 2012. We don't need that. I never had to save those.
I get that. I guess I'm kind of stuck on the whole cameras and videos part of it.
No.
And I just don't trust. What if you go away? What if you go away?
Yeah.
What if we don't have the people that we have right now who are responsible and, you know, all the rest of it? I think that we need to make sure that we have our information available. And that, I think 30 days is definitely not enough time.
Okay, so I'm going to talk to Patrick and revise the policy for a 6-month retention period and bring that to the board if that's the wishes of the committee, Bill.
Well, it bears discussion. But I mean, I'm a guy who, like I said earlier, I have every email back to 2000, but in this case, If the law says retain it for 30 days, retain it for 30 days.
The law doesn't.
And if
it doesn't tell us.
Oh, there's gotta.
We just know that protocol for a lot of places is 30 days.
Yeah.
But it doesn't specify. It specifies with a lot of things. Contracts.
Is it a district?
It's a university.
His is a university where he worked out for.
Oh. That's fine.
And of course, anything you decide to retain separately that you pull aside, it's up to you to keep. You can keep that as long as you want, or delete it at some point after the 30 days per the policy. But at that point in the future, if there's a PRA or something, and that's information you've retained, that's information that you have to submit.
Right.
Of course.
Right. Or
so it. There are government codes that pertain to retention of documents, and I'm not going to go through it all. I can't read that fast. But so let's figure out what the law says and do what the law says.
Talk to Patrick.
Would be my case, and strictly because it's so burdensome. I mean, Diane's, you've had like whole weeks of your life taken up by PRAs, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and yeah, she like, just started. I had
that's
one PRA request.
To the budget
I
issue.
Had no, one PRA request that had over 10,000 emails that were responsive documents. That took us over a year to get. It cost us probably $30,000 in outside help because I had to get a contract law firm in to redact all those documents. So,
God, it's like the Epstein file.
Yeah. So if we wouldn't have had those documents still available in emails and had purged those emails, okay, well then I can't look back and see. But that also means that it relieves some of that burden on the district and our finances. And so,
yeah, I'm more than happy to take it to the board.
Yeah.
Okay. On and then we'll let Patrick guide us.
Yeah, but okay. But Andy, I mean, when it comes to emails, Andy's right. It's a policy. It's a policy by us, and there is a state law about emails that failed to pass. So, you know, we could just set an arbitrary time.
Yeah, we could say 30 days on emails.
30 days, and then delete them from the server.
And delete them, and they're gone forever. Which is not currently our policy. We have many, many that go back for years.
And then delete the ones that are in the trash bin.
Yeah.
So Title V of California Government Code breaks down to Article 9, Section 53-160. Says you must keep video for 100 days minimum.
Who?
The head of a special district, after 1 year, may destroy recordings of routine video monitoring, and after 100 days, may destroy them. But if there's any other situation
if
it's not a basic recording, then you must keep it longer, which it'll go further into, like, if there's a homicide, it says indefinitely on some things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what do you find about emails, Corey? Corey has an advantage. I'm talking and searching.
I think Corey came up with a good point. What is it required for the district, for districts, not just universities, but...
It's 1 year minimum.
Yeah.
1 year for districts?
A public agency, 1 year.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Wait, and that's for video. You're still looking on emails?
That's preservation of videotapes and recordings.
Right. Okay.
And we should make that that should be something that we review, Amelia, is that we don't have things that we don't want to. We need to throw things out that we want to throw out.
After a year.
After whatever the time period is. And I don't know what it is, but.
Okay. So then I will not be moving this to the board unless I get legal opinion that is other than it's 1 year, because the policy is already 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to take it to the board and say, this is the policy and we're not going to change it.
Right. The only thing we could do is make it a discussion item just so that the board knows, or put in...
No.
No?
Okay. No. If the board has every opportunity...
They can listen to the security meeting.
Right. And they can read all the policies like our... You know, residents do.
So are we on items? We finished item six?
Yep. So, director comments.
Okay. I've made all the comments I want to. Has anybody else got anything they want to say?
I got no comments.
Okay. We are adjourned.
Seven. Thank you very much.